jump into today's, but for today's, we're going to talk about how do I know what I'm hearing is God? How do I make sure that what I'm feeling God speak to me as during my week of prayer, during the 7-day restart this week, how do I know that really is God? And so I'm going to give you some things in a minute that we can run through what you're feeling to be able to point you to the direction. Is this God or is this just my flesh? Is this God or is this the pizza I ate last night and I'm having weird dreams? How do I figure this God thing out? Let's look at our verse in John chapter 3. And in this verse, our series verse, Jesus does what he often does in the New Testament. He uses analogies and he uses metaphors to begin to tell a story. And in this story, he begins to talk about a shepherd and the sheep. That he is obviously is our shepherd and we, the people, are sheep. I've been asked before, why did Jesus use that? And my personal opinion is, and I put myself in this group, is because sheep are stupid. And God thought maybe we could identify with that. Because in the big scheme of the world, what we think we know is only about that much. And so Jesus says, I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep. And we begin to read the verse in chapter 10, verse 3. It says, the gatekeeper comes and opens the gate for him and the sheep do what? Let's say this together. They do what? Listen. I found something out. I was hunting the other day with Bob out where they hunt on their hunt club, and the people laying next door have this big, gigantic sheep. Her name's Dolly. And on the way in every morning, you out around the house is Dolly. So Bob and I went in to hunt, and I got in the blind where I was going to hunt, and I sat there, and I didn't see nothing. And I sat there and sat there and sat there, and finally I heard something behind me. And I thought, I don't know what this is, but I'm about to swing this door open, and if there's a deer behind me, he's about to go be with Jesus, because I'm open. And I slung the door open and looked, and there sat Dolly. And I got a picture of me and my foot looking down at Dolly, just looking, I'm like, you know, you just about got killed. And I find myself in the woods talking to this sheep. And then the message that I was preparing for this week, you know, kind of came to my mind. I thought, sheep really are dumb. Because you just got put in a bad spot. And so when I got back, I had heard this was true. So I did a little bit of research and digging. Amazing, you can find anything you want to on Google. Do you know that shepherds can actually take their flocks of sheep and go down the same path? They merge together, and then when the path splits and they want to go separate directions, those sheep can actually go with their shepherd only by the sound of their call. Whatever bark or call that shepherd has taught those sheep, all those sheep mingle together, and then when they split, the two shepherds go the same way. It would just be like me calling, hey, you guys, come here, and I'm going this way, and somebody else is on this side, hey, the rest of y'all come this way, and they perfectly understand. Why? Because the sheep are not only listening. If we continue to read, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He doesn't just call them as a group. He calls them by individual names as God knows us. Go on to the next verse in verse 4. He said, when he has bought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they not only know, they listen. They understand that when they hear that voice, they know that's my shepherd, that's not my shepherd. I'm going to go this way. I'm not going that way because I don't know that voice. To another shepherd that won't even really hurt them. And the same is true with things, and I think in life we hear God speaking and we want to know, is God going this way or God's going this way? And he's going one way, but we're following something else. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just not what God has for you. But look what the verse says when it goes on in verse 5. It says, but they will never what? Follow a stranger. In fact, they're going to run away from him. Why? Because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. It's unfamiliar, and unfamiliar makes them uncomfortable, and they run away from it. The Bible says that we are to be the same way, and we want to do this. We want to be able to listen to his voice every day and discern, that is my shepherd. Even more so in the next 7 days, my prayer is for those of you who maybe have never experienced really what you think is hearing God, my prayer this week is that you do that. And then when you hear it, you listen, that you're able to know that that's the voice of the Father. That you know that the difference between God and the pizza you ate last night. You know, the difference between God and maybe worldly advice. Between God and maybe a truth that is an earthly truth, but it's not a God truth. And that we begin to hear the difference in those. But here's the truth, the capital T. This is, I believe, a capital T truth. And this will take some of the pressure off. Because when we talk about hearing God, if I say to you, I need you to go and pray, and I need you to hear God, and you need to come back and tell me what your decision is. And you say that to people, even in my office as we're counseling, and they look at you like a deer in headlights. And you just see the fear come over people because they're thinking, oh God, what if I'm wrong? Well, let me put you at ease. We all miss it. All of us. Me included. The most spiritual, godly man or woman you know, they all miss it. They all blow it. We all have jumped when God said don't. We all waited when God said jump. We've all missed it. We've all attributed to God a direction that we thought was Him. But that's where grace comes in. That's where God says, oh, you're trying. Matter of fact, my prayer through life is, God, I'm about to do something. I'm about to follow you. But I admit I'm flawed and I'm human. And if I'm about to do something I don't need to do, then I need you to move heaven and earth to stop me. And I believe He will. Even think about Peter. You remember what Peter did in the Bible? There was a time where Jesus was asking the disciples, well, who do people say I am? And then the disciples had all these answers and they were all wrong. And then Peter pipes up and goes, well, you're the Messiah. And what did Jesus say to him? Do you remember? Jesus looked at him and said, nobody else could have told you that, but God has spoken to you. In other words, Peter heard God, right? What you heard was right. And then if you read that verse, if you read it, just a few verses later, Peter begins to blow it. He completely misses it. He goes to Jesus, and Jesus then begins to tell him, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die on the cross. And what does Peter say to Jesus? No, Father, we're not going to let that happen. That's never going to happen. No way. And what does Jesus now tell Peter? One of the most stark statements in all of Scripture. Get thee behind me, devil. He goes from a God-hearing good job to a now you're the devil. Get behind me. In two verses. And this is Peter. So we all miss it. We all miss it. Fact is, humans miss it. I had a professor one time. This was my last year of my master's degree. Melanie and I had been engaged for almost a year, a little short of a year. And I was going to finish up. We were going to travel that summer and then get married in July. Well, I went into my professor's office for another meeting, and she was asking me how I was doing and how the engagement was and, you know, wedding planning and all that stuff that goes with that. And then she just kind of stopped me. She goes, I just need to tell you this. She goes, you need to stop right now. You do not need to marry that woman. And I was like, you know, your eyes perk up, like, okay, what? She said, and her reasoning was, and she was a good, godly woman, but she was a psychology background. She goes, y'all are both firstborns, and firstborns never work together. She goes, it's never going to work. You're going to make it about 3 years, and y'all are going to hate each other and get divorced. And this is my professor in seminary. But I knew what I knew inside. So what do you do when that happens? When somebody comes and speaks to you that way, that they said Melanie was just not right for me. Well, I mean, you know, almost 18 years later now, I think we figured it out. We've been doing pretty good, almost, you know. And so how do you handle that? About 3 months even before I again married Melanie, just after this, a friend and I were working a women's conference that they had at ORU every year, and about 5,000 women would come in. And we were in the band, and we were in the doing praise and worship. And so after we'd get done praise and worship, we would kind of sit off to the side because it's 5,000 women and there was like 10 guys. And we didn't want to be with 5,000 women, so we sat off to the side. So after service, or at the end of the service, they do the altar call. The band comes up and plays, and so we try to sneak out. Well, on the way out, this woman, and we had a bet. Every year we knew this was going to happen, so we would actually bet lunch on who was going to be the lucky guy. That's what we called it. Because every single year, and this year it came down between me and the friend I was with. This, we say amen, they dismiss the service, and you can spot them. Even in a crowd of 5,000, it's this woman with this focused look on her face like she's on a mission. She comes charging down the stairs, goes through the stage, over to where we are, and my friend and I saw her, and it was like the two deer in a headlight. Like, which way do we go? If I run this way and leave him here, I only have to be faster than him. And so we were trying to dodge and go, and she grabbed us both, and then she let go of me, and I was like, whew, thank God. She grabbed my friend. She goes, she said to him, "That's my daughter over there, and God just told me that you're to marry my daughter." My friend, who was also engaged, looked back at her with these wide eyes and just went, "Thank you." And then she let go of him, and I swear to you, he went, he just disappeared and left me standing there. I was like, good evening, see you," and went running behind him. Well, what was that? I don't question the woman's sincerity. She heard what she thought was God. So what do you do when stuff like that happens? What do you do when you're trying to decipher, is this God? The Bible actually tells us in 1 John 4, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Notice the spirit is a lowercase s. But do what? Test. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that without questioning God? How do you test what you feel without, you know, it's like we tell Mabel, there's a way to ask a question. Mabel's very inquisitive, and even sometimes she's right and she knows you're wrong. She's going to hold out until she proves that you're wrong. Well, sometimes that's just not appropriate. Well, how do we learn? How do we test God to see if the spirits, whether they are from God? Because there are other spirits out there. The devil is using everything he can to muddy the waters, to tune out the frequency of God so that we can't hear God. I hear people all the time say, "I feel like God spoke to me." I have a pastor friend, a man walked up to him, this is a true story, walked up to him and said, "I feel like God has spoken to me." My buddy said, "Okay, buddy, tell me what it is." "God has spoken to me. I'm to leave my wife and I'm sleeping with another woman and I'm to go travel in ministry with her." Yeah, I had the same look on my face. Like, and my buddy, you had to know him, he's quick on his feet and funny. He said, "I don't know what spirit that was, but that wasn't God. You're listening to some wrong spirits." To test it. Some tests are blatantly obvious. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, "I charge you to leave your wife." All that stuff I said about let two never separate, just don't worry about that stuff. But leave your wife, go with this other woman, and then I'm going to put you in ministry. It doesn't make any sense. But this guy honestly believed that he had heard God. That's not God. If there's any question in the room, that's not God. Proverbs says in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that appears to be right. Anybody ever thought you're right and then come to find out you were dead wrong? Anybody ever made a decision thinking you were right and then to find out you were dead wrong and it cost you big? I have. There's a way the Bible says that seems right, that seems to be the right way to go, but in the end it does what? Leads to death. It's bad news. So the Bible does tell us to test God, to test the voice, make sure that what we're hearing is God. Well, it must be God because God wants me to be happy. Well, let me tell you this. You can search your scripture, search the Bible. There is nowhere in the Bible. If you can find it, bring it to me. Nowhere in the Bible that says God promises you happiness. He wants to make you happy. The Bible says that God wants to make you holy, and in holiness you find happiness. The truth of the matter is, my worldly happiness will make you miserable. It's just fun at the beginning. But God's holiness, following His plan, will make you happy. There's just a whole lot of people who are living the world's happy, and they just haven't figured out yet that it's about to get bad quick. Because they're not listening to God's whisper, to God's voice. So what I want to do today is I'm going to give you four filters. I encourage you to use all four of them. If you're making the decision and you want to filter what you're thinking or feeling or what you feel the direction of God is, I encourage you to use all four. You can, in some instances, one works. But in my mind, why not use all four? If you're making a big decision and you really need to have some clarity of what God's saying to you, run through all four of them. And the first one is, and this is, should be obvious, but it's not sometimes, is, does what I hear line up with the Bible? Is what I'm feeling God's direction, God's urge, the unction, whatever word you want to use to do, is what I'm feeling the Bible? And let me be very clear. God's voice will never, under any circumstances, go against his word. Because if he does, then God is not who he says he is, and everything falls apart. Because the Bible says of God, he is the same yesterday, today, and... come on, yesterday, today, and... If it's forever, he can't change. And if he is God, one unit of God, one God, our God, then he can't change. He can't change anything about him, or he becomes a liar, and the whole thing falls apart. I don't know if you remember in the Bible where the Pharisees were testing Jesus. And they begin to ask him some questions, and they begin to say, now give us your answer. And in this case, it was about divorce. And I'm not picking on divorce. For the record, God doesn't hate divorcees. He hates divorce. Why? Because it hurts people. He hates anything that hurts his people. That anybody who's ever been through divorce will tell you, no, it really wasn't the best thing I've ever gone through. But there are a lot of people who preach condemnation and judgment. God doesn't hate you for being divorced. He hates divorce because it hurts people. And that's why he talks about it in the Word. But the Pharisees ask him this question in Matthew chapter 19. It says, some Pharisees came to him and said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? They were trying to set Jesus up. And look at the next verse. Look at what he says. And I highlighted it on the screen. Haven't you read? Notice Jesus never gives his opinion. Jesus never says, well, let me theologically break it down for you. What Jesus is saying to them, he was referring to the Old Testament, to the Torah, to the what they did have written back then. What we would say is, have you not read your Bible? He was pointing back to the Word that God had already spoken. He didn't give his opinion. People come to me even now, and we have all kinds of issues in our society that 20 years ago we called it what it was. We called a spade, and if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a what? It's a duck. Now we kind of muddy the waters, and it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, but it just might be a chicken. Why? Because I don't want to offend the duck, or I don't want to offend the chicken. I don't want to make anybody comfortable. And so we begin to change God's word and just give our opinion. My opinion doesn't matter because God's already spoken. It's written. Remember when Jesus said that? It is written. It's already been done. It's over. And he asked the Pharisees, have you not read? Have you not read the word? And he goes through and says, in the beginning, God made man and female. Let not anybody separate those. God joins together. We can't just change the word to fit what we feel. And when it comes to hearing God and running through this filter, a lot of us run through it. And when it doesn't work, we just jam it through and make an excuse. We change the word to fit what we feel. We can't do that. Or we change the word to fit the world's idea so we don't offend anybody. So we don't, and you know, I will say this, I don't mean this to be political, it's just my opinion, but this whole thing about safe space and all that kind of stuff, it's just not the world. It's not the real reality we live in. And Jesus is going, listen, it's written. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but truth from God is truth that is above everything else. That's just the way it is. The Bible says, and this one's not in your notes, in Luke 21:33, that though all heaven and earth will pass away, yet my words, what? They ain't changing. They remain true. It was true 20 years ago, it's true today. What God says and what he hasn't changed, because if he changes, the whole thing falls apart. You cannot also take one verse. And unfortunately, pastors are very good at doing this. Preachers are very good at taking one verse and taking it completely out of context and making it fit whatever they want. You can't do that. The Bible talks, or in theology, they teach you what's called the whole counsel of God. In other words, What does God say about this subject? If you could reach into the Bible, you reach in and take out all those scriptures that pertain to that, pull it out, and then get a consensus. This is what God's saying. And then you can use one verse because it's speaking for the whole thing. But people will pull out one verse and go, this is what this means. Verses like, and a lot of old-time guys and even some men that need some understanding of the Bible will say, women might got to be quiet in the church. That's one verse, and you're building a whole big building on one verse. Look at the context. What is the whole counsel of God? So will what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, what I believe the voice of God, will it line up with the Bible? The second one, and the world has destroyed this one. Will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more like Christ? The truth is, a lot. There are some of us, maybe some of you sitting here, you need to take the first step. You haven't received Jesus. You haven't kind of surrendered your life and have this relationship with Him so that you can know Him as your Lord and Savior. That's your first step. But does what you're feeling make you more like Jesus? This one's not in your notes. In the Philippians 2:5, it says, In your lives, you must think and act like Jesus. People again would say to me, I feel like I'm supposed to. Well, what you're going to feel, is it going to make you like Jesus? And James actually gives us a whole list of what God's wisdom looks like. And it describes to us what God's voice and what His direction will look like. You see, the world has totally ruined something that started out pretty good. Anybody remember the WWJD, when that came? That was What Would Jesus Do? And we had bracelets and t-shirts, and some of y'all probably still got bumper stickers and tags, and it just went nuts. And then I started seeing things, them applying the What Would Jesus Do to causes, to political causes. And the world, it just kind of so meshed it out that the only answer that nobody could even remember what Jesus actually does or would do, only what we said He would do. And it totally destroyed it. Because it's, again, not about being happy. I'm just not telling you what would Jesus do to make you happy. I'm telling you that because that's the only way to be holy. It's the only way to be right with God. So we would so distort it, and no wonder we can't hear God. No wonder we, as Christians, struggle. Because it's not about being happy, it's about being holy. Look what James says in James 3. The Bible says, but wisdom that comes from heaven. In other words, God's voice, God speaking to us, the whisper of God, is pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of what? Righteousness. Will it make you more like Christ? The more I know Him, the more I hear His voice, the more I become like Him, the more I know His voice. It's this cycle. It gets going. It keeps going. The third one, and I will say up front, this one you need to use wisdom on. You need to have somebody that you can trust, and if I'm your pastor here, me or Melanie or even some of the leaders, you can trust us. We can get going in the right direction, because be very careful about who you put in this category. And that is, does godly counsel agree? Does it match what the Bible says? Will it make me more like Jesus? And does godly counsel agree? Well, you say, well, Clint, what happens when I ask this person and then this person? And they're both good godly people, and one says yes and one says no. Well, I'm just going to tell you ahead of time, we're human, and all of us as human do what? Miss it. So you have to learn. Well, what makes somebody, quote unquote, godly? And this is the easiest way I know how to tell you to do this. The Bible says of Christians that we know them by their what? Fruit. I can walk up to, in the summertime, walk up to my apple tree, and there's no doubt it's an apple tree. Why? Because it's got apples on it. If it's good fruit, you look at somebody's life. Is the fruit of their life good? Is their life chaos? Are they constantly making crazy decisions to go here, to buy this, to do this, and then backtracking? It doesn't make them less of a Christian. It doesn't make them unsaved. But think about who you want to help you. If I have an issue, and I'll use Mr. Charles here because he's helped us here for so many years with our air conditioning. If I need help, excuse me, with an air conditioning, he's the man I call. But if I need help fixing my computer, he'll tell you, don't call him. Why? Because when they had a problem with their computer, they called me. Because you pick out the people that you want to listen to, find the fruit in their lives. Find somebody who knows, who've been there maybe, and knows what they're doing, have experienced it. Listen. Listen to somebody. Does godly counsel agree? This is why here at Believers, we have two levels kind of on that help me. The first one here on the local level that oversees all the finances and salaries and sets our budget for the year are what we call trustees. And those are six guys who I meet with quarterly, and I have to live by the budget that they set. If they tell me no, then it's no. But even for my own spiritual well-being, I have what we call overseers. Most of you probably know Kenny Large, and the other one is Justin Grace. And I'm working diligently to add some more because I need more. I need more watching over me. And the overseer's job is to watch me. And they're the ones I go to when I need advice, when I need wisdom. Some of you guys remember Pastor Jay Coleman from Louisiana. He's one I just called the other day. I needed some help. I needed some wisdom. I wanted your godly counsel. And in this particular instance, all the godly counsel began to agree. Let me caution you on two things, though. First, this is not a shopping trip. I watched more well-meaning Christians come to me and say, hey, this is what I feel like God's telling me. And we talked about last week that check in your spirit, like something, I call it an itch, like something's just not right. And I will share that. I don't know what the answer is, but something's not right. I would hold off or maybe go about this a different way. Well, if they don't like my thing, then they go to somebody else. Well, hey, what do you think? Well, hey, what do you think? And they just keep going until somebody tells them what they want to hear. You will find somebody. I can promise you. Focus on me real quick. Look at me. The devil will put somebody in your path that will tell you what you want to hear. If you're looking for a yes and you will take no other answer but yes, somebody will come along, a well-meaning Christian, and go, yeah, that's a great idea. And it's not that they wish you ill will, but if you hunt long enough, you're going to find it. So one, it's not a shopping trip. Second, and I said this last week, I believe true obedience doesn't happen until you're willing to accept the answer that's different from what you want. You have to be willing to hear the answer no, or you have to be willing to hear the opposite of what you're feeling. That when godly counsel comes to you and says, stop, no, I wouldn't do it. Now, let me back up the story I told you about my professor who told me that you and Melanie just stop. Y'all don't need to get married. You won't work. At that time, I had three men in my life that I trusted and that their fruit was good. They all had good, long, godly marriages. Kids were serving God. And I went to them. And I said, this one authority in my life is saying no, but I want to ask you. And all three of them said, no, you're right. What you're doing is right. Keep going. So the godly counsel agreed. So I began to move forward. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12. It says the way of a fool seems what? Right to them. But the what? The wise listen to advice. We were out with some friends last night. We were talking about the people we had known through the years. And I was telling them about somebody that had counseled, and they had asked me a financial, you know, what I thought. And I flat told them, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. You're going to pay for it for the next 20 years. Don't do this. And I explained to them why. And the next day, they called me, and, we did it. Well, why'd you call me? Well, because you wanted your opinion. Okay. I mean, I don't get my feelings hurt. I can't make you listen to me or to God. That's your decision. But they wouldn't listen. They were warned in advance and didn't listen to the advice. Listen to advice, accept discipline. Proverbs 19:20 says, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. I would rather be counted among the wise than having to worry about being right. If I was wrong and the wise says you're wrong and I go, okay, I'm wrong, and then be counted and not go through what I may have to go through based on a decision I made because I heard God correctly through godly counsel. Look what it goes on to say. Many are the plans of a person's heart. In other words, we got a lot of ideas. How I think it should go, how I feel it should go, what I think should happen. But it's the Lord's purpose that what? Prevails. God's going to prevail. He's going to get what he needs to get done. And the sad thing is a lot of us just choose to let him do it without us. I had a friend that I've counseled, and I got to know. It's kind of a long distance thing. We talk on the phone. He was in the area for a while, and he called me one day, and he was just distraught. And it was one of those stories where he comes home, and his wife had taken everything she owned and left. Like, no warning, no advice, like, go to work, come home, she's gone. And he just lost it. He went back to some old ways and started drinking again and just, and yeah, whole time he would call, it's funny, you think, he would call me like too drunk to talk to me. And I'd have to hang up, call me back because you're not making any sense. So he would actually go sober up and then call me. And I would tell him again, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to find you a church. You need to let God love on you. You need to forgive. What's happened has happened and she's not coming back. You need to forgive her. And you don't have to like her again. You don't have to go back to her, but you have to forgive her and move on. And this went on and on for 3 years. 3 whole years, once a month. Oh, my life's terrible. It's falling apart. I can't, on and on and on. And so last month, I get a phone. Then I hadn't heard from him in about 5 months. Last month, I get a phone call. And he says, hey, man. Well, hey, how are you? I just need to tell you something. And I'm thinking he's going to call and tell me like he's in jail, life's terrible. He goes, you were right. I said, well, that's nice to hear once in a while. He goes, you were right. I decided about 3 or 4 months ago to stop doing what I wanted to do, to run through those. I gave him the same filters I'm giving you. I give you, before you make a decision, if you want to know if it's God or not, just go along this. And you can even call me and I'll help you make the decision. And he just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And finally he said, I decided to use those things you gave me. And I just want you to know that next month I'm getting remarried. And God has put in my life this perfect woman of God. She's great for me. I'm happy. I'm no longer drinking. I'm no longer doing all these other things I used to do. And the only thing I did different is I started using your filters and let God speak to me and listen. And he goes, all I wanted to tell you is that thank you and you're right. And it was so humbling. I said, man, you're welcome, but that's not me. That was all you and God. You just used the tools in your toolbox. I'm asking you today, are you going to use the tools that God's given you? Are you going to be happier than you've ever been before? And number 4, and this one is a big one for me. The word I don't struggle with because I know this is God's, in the Bible, but I usually kind of go to this one first. And this one is, do I have peace? See, because you need to understand that the Bible is very clear. You have peace living within you. They refer to Jesus as the what? Prince of Peace. The Bible says that Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, resides in our heart. So if we have peace living within us as Christians, then why not use it? Why not let it guide us? The Holy Spirit, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit of peace. Follow peace. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of what? Peace. Another version says, God is not the author of disorder. God is not creating things that are out of order. Matter of fact, you go back to look at the very sign of creation. What happened? The Bible says that things on the earth were chaos and stuff was moving around, and God spoke and created peace, created the earth. He spoke and everything started with God's voice of peace. Now, let me tell you this though, you will have a clash. It's that, you remember the cartoons with the devil on one side and the angel on the other? You're going to have this spirit of God in my flesh when you make a decision. And sometimes they're going to clash and they're going to butt heads, and one's going to be leading you one way and one's going to be pulling you the other way. When that happens, a red flag should go up. Warning lights should start flashing. When you go to a railroad crossing and those lights come down, they're not, and the arm comes down and the lights are flashing, that's not just happening for your own entertainment. It's happening for a reason. Why? Because what's coming down the track? A train. And should you be on the track when a train goes down the track? That's an easy answer, y'all. The answer is no. You don't want to be sitting on the track when the train comes down it. Bad things happen. So if you have this conflict, then back up. A friend of mine who I trust dearly always told me, listen, when you have confusion and dis-ease and no peace, then go back to the last thing you know. Okay, I'm going to back up. I know where I am is good. I'm not going to make a decision until I find peace. When you know His voice, when you know this voice, sometimes it contradicts with what your own self, your flesh is telling you. And that's a warning sign. It should be a red flag. When Melanie and I, we lived in California for about a year, and that summer before we moved back, I began feeling like something just wasn't right. God began to change in my own heart. And one day in my office, where we were in California, I just heard God say, it's time to go home. And gave me a scripture for it. And I looked up the scripture, and it fit and everything. I went through all the filters, you know, the Bible, godly counsel. Is Jesus being obedient? And then, you know, I just couldn't have peace. And I went on for a couple days. Well, some of you know the rest of the story. If you heard it before, the rest of the story is one day, a few days later, I went home and walked in to talk to Melanie. And Melanie walks up and goes, and I hadn't told anybody. Not my dad, my family, not Melanie, no one, nobody. And I walk into the house and Melanie says, I think we're supposed to go back to Sylvania. Well, immediately, peace. I would have packed up and driven right then. Let's go right now, come on. Because I suddenly found peace, and suddenly the answer, I still made the same decision. But I really believe if I had jumped 3 or 4 days earlier, that I would have been out of the will of God. Because I didn't have peace yet. And as soon as I had peace, we went and spoke to the pastor where I was working, and he actually told me, he goes, yeah, God told me 4 days ago. Really? And he goes, I was just waiting for you to come. And I told him the story. He goes, well, that makes sense. And they blessed us and helped us move, come back here to find out what God had for us here. I had peace. Look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and what? Petition. What does petition mean? Just ask God. You can't get an answer to a question you haven't asked. We tell Mabel that. She goes, I don't want to ask that question. It'll make me sound... No, ask that question because you can't get the answer if you haven't asked the question. Ask God by prayer, petition. And this is what we're doing this week. We're simply asking God as we start tomorrow morning, or whether you come in the evening time, God, I'm just asking you, this is some things I'm praying about. For myself, for the church, for the city, for your family. God, I'm beginning to ask these things. I'm just going to present my request to you. Look what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God will do what? Transcends is the fancy word for, huh? It's our redneck version of what? In other words, it's going beyond what we can figure out. It's okay not to know when you have peace. I didn't know what I was coming back to when I left California. I didn't have a job. I didn't know how I was going to make any money, pay a house payment, but I had peace. And I began to walk it out. And look what this says, and I love this. And this is what I want you to kind of hang on for this week as you begin to ask God maybe some very serious questions. Maybe some of you really need to take this week with God and kind of go nose to nose with him. Say, God, I need you to help me. I got some decisions to make. I need you to make some changes in my life. Look what this says. So it goes beyond all our understanding. This peace of God that goes beyond what I can understand will do what? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard in the original Greek actually stands for like what's called a garrison, which in simple terms is a whole lot of people that surrounds you. And this is my prayer this week. It literally means that God will surround your heart. And that's my prayer for you this week, that you're in the safest place you could possibly be as you talk to God, is surrounded by his peace. I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to make a decision or I need to kind of let my guard down and be open and honest with you or with God or anybody, it's nice to know in this case, this is where a safe place comes. The world can tell you all they want to. You can go here and be safe. You can go here and be safe. But I'm telling you, the only place you'll ever be safe is right in the middle of God's will, right where he wants you. When the Bible says God's peace will surround you and guard your heart, his protective peace. And then here's the easy part. You follow the peace. The peace will take you to nothing outside the word. That peace will take you to nothing that will make you unlike Jesus. That peace will take you to godly counsel and people who can confirm to you what you're hearing with God. That peace will lead you. That's how you make a decision. You follow the peace, you listen, and then follow it. Now, here's my prayer. I got 3 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about this week. If you're listening online, that's all available online, all the stuff this week. But here's my prayer. And I guess really what I'm asking you to do. And I'm just going to be as straight and as honest as I can be. And if people aren't here, you need to tell them just like I'm saying this. I'm asking everybody to participate this week. I would prefer you come here because there's just something about gathering together in the morning or in the evening. And maybe, you know, we're at the end of the last 5 minutes or so. We're just going to grab some hands and go, God, I'm just asking you to bless all these people. We're going to pray together, and then we'll leave. It's for an hour, 1 hour a day for 7 days, starting in the morning, ending next Sunday. We're going to do that time together next Sunday morning and pray and finish our prayer time. I'm asking everybody just to participate. If you say, well, Clint, I can't come pray for an hour, then come and sit here. That's fine. There are some of you, I understand, y'all leave like before God gets up and goes to work. Some of you leave, I don't even know what time you leave because there is no real time. You just, you know, I get that. Some of you work maybe second, third shift and the evening doesn't work. And I'm not asking you to get fired to come to pray for a week. But I am asking you to take an hour. Put on our playlist. Put on your own praise and worship music. Read through the prayer journal. Just chat with God for an hour. Follow the prayer guide and pray for those things. There's just power when we pray the same thing. It's like focusing. Let me tell you this. We could take a BB gun and shoot at the window and it won't break it. But if we all take BB guns and shoot at the same window, guess what? It's going to break it. Some of you are tired of nothing happening in your life because you're shooting little BBs, and you need to understand there's 100 of us, and we all shoot it at the same place. Something's going to happen. Life will change. That's why we do this, not to just tell you what to pray, but to focus us so we're all running the same play, so we're all doing the same thing. Yes, I know it's a sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, and again, I'm always do my best to be honest and transparent. I'm telling you that because I'm going to take I do the 6 to 7 in the morning, and I hate getting up in the morning. It's cold. I want to stay in bed. Especially Monday mornings, I don't want to get up. But I'm determined, and we shortened it down to 7 days because I want us to be intense and intentional about just letting God whisper to us. I'm not asking you to come and march. We're not going to come in here and do the Jericho march and march around the building banging stuff and screaming. We're just going to come and say, God, here's my request. Now I'm listening. I need you to whisper to me. I need you to, and I understand it's a sacrifice. But the truth is, I think you can do it. And I'm not asking anybody to do anything that Melanie and I aren't willing to do. I'm asking you again to do it. We're doing everything we can to help you, to give you stuff, to follow, to information. Pick a time. 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturday at 9, and this Sunday together. Because here's what I want you to do, and here's the last three blanks. Let's take this. Take this week, and we're going to do these things. We're going to tune in to God every day. We're going to tune in and listen to His whispers. We're going to tune out things that oppose God. And here's the truth of the matter. You're going to have to turn some stuff down. Some of us are so overloaded with stuff coming at us, you're never going to hear God until you turn some other things down. Turn the volume down. Maybe this week you take off TV. Maybe some of you need to get off social media. Some of you, especially, I won't name names, but some of these people over on this side of the room, they can't breathe unless they get a Snapchat. Like the world just stops if I don't. Maybe we need to put some of that down. Maybe we need to kind of zero in and tune in God and tune out some other stuff. And then lastly, when we hit next week and we come to the end next Sunday, we're going to take our one step. Because here's why. I believe we're going to ask God something, He's going to speak to us some things, and then we're going to have something to do. That we take our one step. That we get serious about this week. And restart what God's asked us to do. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? Between you and God, I want you to answer this question either yes or no. There's no in between, there's no maybe, there's no gray area. You're answering either yes or no. And that is, God, when you speak and tell me to do something, I'm asking you now, are you willing to listen and obey? And if you are, tell God, God, I'm willing. You speak to me this week, I'm willing. My answer is yes. If not, then be man enough, woman enough to go, God, I can't tell you that. I'm going to have to say no right now. That's okay. It doesn't change Him speaking, and it doesn't change us praying for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. There's a room full of people in my heart. I know, said God, yes, I'm willing. I'm going to go. I'm going to do whatever it is you asked me to do. I'm going to commit to the 7 days. I'm going to jump in and listen for that whisper of God in my life. Father, I thank you that we hear God like never before as we start this week. We respond like never before. And that when we're done, life has radically changed. Because we've started listening to the whispers of God. And I thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name.